All right, let's start from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll start again from verse 11. It said, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. That was Paul writing to the Corinthians. So we are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, that you may have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. My emphasis again is verse 16. It said, therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh, even though we may have known. We say we have known Christ according to the flesh. That is, we knew him while he was alive. We know his natural heritage. He said, yet now we know him thus no longer. This is what we know. Because we don't know Christ in such a manner any longer. Also, we don't know anybody who is in Christ in such a manner. In verse 17, it says, this is how we know such a person. If any man is in Christ, we recognize that he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, that's the first scripture I want us to read. Quickly, let's flip down to the book of Jeremiah chapter 9. I'll read from verse 23, thereabout. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me. What does he know about me? That I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Now, there's a reason why I read these two portions of the scriptures. I want to continue what we began to discuss last time concerning the matter of identity. Let me just reiterate some points that we made before. And number one, that is how you recognize truly your identity. All right? That is how life responds to you. If you don't know who you are, life will try to tell you what they want you to be. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Life responds to you according to your knowledge of your true identity, that is your persuasion concerning the person that you are. Last time we read about Jesus Christ, that he went into the synagogue to teach. He did not go to the synagogue to go and cast out demons. He just went into the synagogue to go and teach. And the evil spirits present there began to get agitated. I talked about the aura of a person. That is, you come into somebody's presence, you understand what I mean? There is something about him that speaks without him saying anything. There's something my wife was saying, we're analyzing some situations the other day. She said there are people that you could just come to their presence. You know, you feel like cheating them. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? That it doesn't come out of you to give the person a high office in your heart. And that's as these things happen, all right? In fact, that's why, you know, they say that, Archbishop Benson Dawson used to say that, dress the way you want to be addressed. Because one of the first ways people, all right, perceive what you are is what you look like. In fact, there's a proverb in Yoruba like that, that people give you the kind of honor that your personality, all right, dictates. It's as they see you that they offer you things. Now, those things are physical, but spiritually, that's the way it is. Without your talking, something in your system is going out. Do you understand my point? And affecting the things that are around. That's why I keep on saying this thing all the time. Let me just digress a bit, please, all right, while reviewing. Life, you must focus on inside before you think about what's outside. Are you getting my point? Listen, you know, the example I use a lot when I'm teaching on radio, The Way of Success, is this one about people going to look for jobs. If you're a beggar, you won't get a job. Are you getting my point? There is something about the beggarly spirit that doesn't provoke favor. I don't know what I'm going to explain. One of the things you do for yourself, all right, is to first convert yourself into something rather than trying to pretend. People say that when you want to go for an interview, right? Like I was saying earlier, you dress well, you do this, you do that. Unfortunately, when you settle down for the interview, your appearance, all right, takes the first few seconds, all right? And people say that it's a matter of first impression. You know what I find about first impression? It's very important, all right? But proper impression is more important than the first one. You can have a first impression about somebody. After I talk to him for 5 minutes, you've lost all... Look, you say, look, I thought this man was like this. That is, the real substance inside him begins to come out. Listen, you can go for an interview, all right? Not well-dressed. If you have real substance inside your body, the man interviewing you will soon forget what you look like outside. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. In fact, you know, I don't know how many of you ever saw this movie, The Pursuit of Happiness, all right, based on the true story, okay? Now, the movie is interesting. There was something about it. It was acted, that role was played by Will Smith. Now, the day the man went for this interview, he came out, all right, of police detention. Police arrested him while he was painting his house. So by the time he left the detention, he was dirty. He had paint all over him, but time was important. So he left from there straight and went for the interview. Of course, he was being interviewed amongst people that were all wearing suits, all right, and all of that. Now, what happened? After they interviewed him, the boss looked and said, look. And he wasn't wearing a proper shirt. He just had like an undershirt, like what we call a small t-shirt on. And the man looked at him and said, what would you say that a man came to my office, dirty as you are, not wearing a shirt, and I employed him? If you were in my shoes, what would you say? The man said, well, I would think maybe his trousers are fantastic. Not anything to a joke. But the point was that they wanted to employ this fellow, but it didn't look like a man that should employ. So the man was confused. This is the point I'm making. Even though the outward appearance called him negatively, but because something was inside, do you understand my point? That one overcame that which was outward. Believers, let's not learn methods. You know, I'm tired of people trying to teach me method to do this, method to do that. Let's become something. Do you get my point? Look, don't pretend like an intelligent man. Become intelligent. Don't pretend like you want to help your boss, that the place you've gone to for employment. Really, in your heart, settle until God converts you to a person who wants to bless people. Once that thing is inside you, wherever you go, it will come out naturally. I like the way they said that, concerning telling the truth and telling lies. They said, just tell the truth and you don't have to remember what you said. You've heard that thing before. Somebody asked you a question today, all right? You tell him the truth. If you ask him 10 years' time, if you still know what the truth is and you say it, you won't even. He doesn't have to tell you that, look, I asked you some time ago, I'm checking what you're going to say. If it's the truth, it's the truth. In the same manner, if you ask something, if you have the right identity, all right, and you are something that God has made, you are correct in your inside man. It's not the pretense outside that makes the difference concerning your life. People learn how to talk the talk, walk the walk. Do you get my point? But they are not the thing. Those are the things that, you know, eventually they collapse. It's called all flesh is grass. Develop the right spirit. Is that okay? Now, let me just sit down on the review or for the whole of today. I want to go and continue to the thing for today. So the thing we said is that, look, it's your understanding of your person, a true knowledge of your identity, that dictates how life responds to you. There are those who are confused. And that's why I said last time, finished yesterday, the last meeting, discussing the sources of identity that are wrong. Because people can give themselves a wrong impression of themselves, and life, listen, will not give what you have wrongly thought about yourself to you. It won't ascribe things to you concerning that. Do you understand my point? For now, if you go and start pretending that you are a mechanic, you go and wear, you know, the overall of a mechanic, you carry tools and everything, yes, you can pretend for a while. It is when we see a broken down vehicle, we'll know what you really are. Are you getting my point? And like I said, okay, wasn't here, I said, I was preaching somewhere during the week. I said, God always tests. Listen, eventually the breath of God will blow. Are you getting my point? All right? So we need to have a correct knowledge of our identity. Know who we really are. I mentioned three things that people try to get identity from, and those things are wrong. They fail eventually. Number one, people try to get identity from titles. All right? You go and borrow a title that's not your own. This modern day Pentecostalism, the title of ministers, all right, is the one that's very popular now. Everybody wants to bear the title pastor. We don't even use, Pentecostals don't use reverend as much. You know, want the title pastor. There's a new one that is a vogue apostle. Every man that goes around raising money from one church to the other becomes an apostle. You've seen it. No, go and check. Every guy who jumps from one place to the other trying to raise money is an apostle. No, go and check. I have like three in my head right now. The problem is people think that their title apostle means you're a senior preacher. You understand? In fact, they had a crisis in America. I don't think it really got here. There are people who go around calling themselves apostles. And what are they trying to do? They are trying to lord it over everybody else. For example, they walk in here now and say, Pastor Banky, what are you? I tell them, I'm a pastor teacher. I said, good, you are subject to an apostle. So I will tell you where the people are supposed to sit. All right, people shouldn't sit here. Let them sit like this. You should preach. That is why. He tells himself he's an apostle. So he's more important than me. So when he shows up where I'm supposed to be ministering, he thinks he should dictate what I'm supposed to do. He got himself a title and it led to confusion in his life. Eventually, he will fizzle away. Next time people are seeing him, they will close the door. You know, as he's approaching. That's what wrong titles do for you. They mislead the person carrying them. We also said the next place people try to get, identify themselves from is by the associations. Yeah, this is the church I go to. It means I'm going to heaven. That doesn't mean anything, all right? It is not the name you name. It's that this is the church I go to. Everybody, all right, who calls upon him, all right, and has faith in him is acceptable unto him. From whichever nation of the earth, from whatever denomination. Is that okay? Whether you speak in tongues or you don't speak in tongues. If you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Whether they wear garments in your church or they don't wear garments. All right? Whether your pastors Jericho their hair or they don't Jericho their hair. Whether your women wear jewelry or they don't wear jewelry. Are you getting my point? Look, it's important we get these things. I need to say it because there are too many confused people on the streets. There are those who go around, they go to another church, to go and preach that you will come to their own church because you know you are not saved where you are. It's all confusion. Pentecostal madness, that's what I call such things. Let's go beyond those things, all right? Now, the last thing I said, another place where people get their wrong identity from is the identity of possessions, all right? That's why people want, they will do anything just to acquire something, build a house, buy a big car. There are people who spend money just to impress people. Hey! If you are doing that, you are a thoroughly confused human being and you need deliverance. It's your type that needs deliverance. Still trying to do things to impress people, spend money you don't have because you are not sure in yourself. Let me just say this again, all right? If, now one of the greatest things, you know, you hear me say a lot of times, all right, in recent times, that I've found out I'm a very rich man. Amen? If you think you are as rich as I am, say amen. All right. Now, not just amen, but you have to listen to what made you rich, all right? Now, what did I use to calculate my wealth? I thought about it. Number one is my faith. Is that all right? I said everything has material value. What I'm saying is a matter of fact. Albert Einstein taught us some things about he was talking about the physical world, but I learned that it also works like that spiritually. In physics, they talked about the interconvertibility of energy. So you can have kinetic energy being converted to electrical energy. We learned that one from, that's how you have hydroelectric power generation. We heard of a thermal energy being converted to electric energy. Of course, you know about electric energy being converted to thermal energy. All right, that's how your heaters work and even your air conditioners. All right, they suck hot air from a place and push it out. All those things. When I found out that that's not just in physical matters alone. They also work in spiritual things. I found that spiritual things are convertible to material things. What I'm telling you is a matter of fact. I don't have time to go over it again. That's why people do sacrifices to make money. You can take a precious person, a child of yours. God gave a dose of of spiritual prosperity into that young man's life. And you sacrifice him as an offering. Do you get my point? You can release the substance inside him, okay, outward, and it becomes money. It becomes material prosperity. It becomes favor. That's how spiritual things are. So, your faith has a material value. The problem is that men don't know how to calculate. You can't even calculate the amount of faith you have. How much more about the E is equal to MC squared of your material value of your faith? Now, you're following what I'm trying to make. Now, so when I value my faith, my own rough estimate, it runs into a few billions and some hundreds of billions of dollars. I'm telling you. Yes, that's one. Another thing I found out, all right, is that the confidence, believe me, I'm not bragging about this, that I have concerning life, you can't buy it with money. The man that has a billion naira doesn't sleep as well as I do. I'm surer of my children's destiny than he's surer of his own. The richest man in the world at the time, Paul Getty, his children looked and said, money was a curse to our family. Can you believe that? money was it wrecked them. This day I see people till now. It's happening every day. The doctor that killed Michael Jackson was paying him $150,000 a month as salary. A month. Did you hear what I said? For your information, resident doctors in America earn between $40,000 and $50,000 and $60,000 a year. Did you hear what I said? You see a resident doctor working in America earns maybe about $50,000 a year. A fresh law graduate earns like $30,000 a year. Michael Jackson's doctor was being paid $150,000 a month. And what did he get from it? The man gave him injection and he died. Now, you are getting what I want to explain. So when I place value on my faith, I place value on the knowledge of my identity. That is why you see me smile all the time. I've been smiling like this for a long time. For a very, very long time. What am I going to explain? See, as believers, and that's where I'm going into today. Don't let the world drive you up and down, make you look like you're not important. Your importance is not the kind of shirt you wear. I hope you are getting my point. It's not the kind of shoe you wear or the kind of car you drive. It's very vital. What life has done to young people especially is to make them think that they will become important once they acquire something. So they are laboring for those things. Listen, let me tell you something. I've said this several times before. Solomon was a gift from God. Did I hear an amen? Say amen if you believe it. What do I mean? The man made his life a sacrifice so that we will learn some lessons. What do I mean? He said, vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. It is like chasing after the wind. What am I saying? The thing you are chasing after now, Solomon chased after it and realized that it didn't give him anything. He said, there was a time let me tell you the kind of thing that Solomon did. Everything that men desired, Solomon went after it and got it. The renowned atheist, Nietzsche, that's what they call the man, the German atheist. The man said it simply, that so as to make himself happy, he went after everything that was supposed to portend pleasure. He rejected the knowledge of God because God tends to put a restriction on your ability to enjoy yourself. Are you getting what I'm saying? So he said there was no God. He was the one that declared that God was dead. That famous statement about the death of God came from him. But when the man was going to die, you know what he said? He said, I rejected all kinds of pains in my life. I went after all kinds of pleasure. He said, but you know what? I only arrived back at that center of pain through another route. That was what he said before he died. By the time he was dying, he was on drugs. He was diseased. He was an insomniac. He was mentally, he was a certified lunatic. No, not as if we don't like him. No. It was, is on record. The man was mentally out of whack before he died. And the man testified. I said, listen, don't fight God, though. You know, God looked at Paul. Jesus looked at him. Why are you kicking against concrete that has nails? In other words, why, King James said, why are you kicking against a pricks? Or why are you kicking against thorns? Why are you kicking against things that would destroy you? It's like, you know, the way Yoruba man says it. You take an egg, say, at the vex, a jam rock. What? Do you understand my point? Egg, out of vexation, attacks a rock. I am angry, so I attack a rock. What am I saying? If God says something is true, you can never prove him wrong. It's not possible. Solomon said what? Vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. What people chase after in life, Solomon declared it vanity. There's a new book I began to work on today, titled The Hundredfold Blessing. What am I bringing up from there? Even in my life, I've discovered that even when I finish preaching, so I go and settle down. Say, Pastor Banky, what is the material thing that you really, 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 really think that without you won't be happy? Did somebody lie to you that if you don't have land, you are not a successful man? If you don't build a house, I think about it every day and I start rejecting those things. I start rejecting them. Friend of mine and I, the other day, we analyzed my life. That is, he and me analyzed my life. And we thought about what my life might be like tomorrow. And we both agreed that the Son of Man does not know where he will be in 4 years' time. The Son of Man does not know where he will be in 10 years' time. You can look for my wife and I in 1 year and my children, and they said that they have relocated to Kenya. Let me tell you, this Saturday meeting is holy every day. Better start counting it. It shall soon come to an end. Ah, this man, you the vex? No. We analyzed it. You know what will happen? I will show up, and it will be my original base, my own companion. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Every month, we shall do a 3-day seminar. Kiss everybody bye-bye. Return maybe 1 or 2 days. We pray during the week. And then, he said, where are you going to go? Do you blame me? If I'm going to supposed to be in Kenya, and maybe Bosnia, you know, of those kind of places. So my friend and I analyzed and said, okay, so why should somebody like that be saying that without having land here and all of that, I don't know what I'm going to do? When I don't even know, now I understand what Jesus meant when he said, sell all that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. Listen, we must get to a place in life. There are two books I started working on today. That's the way my life is, all right? When I started working, I began to write it. In fact, yesterday was when I started one. Second, I started today. Second, today's one is titled The Culture of Christianity. All right? I want to teach people some things about the culture of Christianity. It was why I went to preach on Wednesday and Thursday, that I was teaching them about something about culture of Christianity. Today, I remember that I said, no, I must put those things down. Christianity has a culture. One of those cultures we must be known for as Christians is that material things don't mean anything to us. A time will come, you'll see a Christian today driving the latest model Infiniti QX65. Or 95, by the time they finish making that. 2 days later, you see the guy on the back of a motorbike. Say, where are you going? Say, I want to rush go market just now. Ah, where your motor? Now, some of my guys, we won't go do one meeting somewhere. It's very crucial. I gave it to them. When are they returning it? I forgot to tell them. No, really. I call it the culture of Christianity. So a time will come, people will look and say, these people, don't mind them. Nothing matters to them. No material thing. The world must never. No, there's a reason why I'm explaining this. When we identify what our life really is supposed to be like, we won't try to tie ourselves to things, thinking that by that way we'll show ourselves to be important. People pursue after one degree after another. They are not trying to learn anything from me. They just want to hold the degree. I come with a title. Reverend Doctor Professor. And I found out something I saw that a lot when I came to Enugu. I saw a lot of people in their villages, they've never seen educated people. So when they come out, you get my point? And they make the title doctor, professor, chief, they will put everything together in a line. So when you want to introduce him, you will start. Let us welcome to the high table, His Excellency, the Most Reverend Alhaji Professor, Mr. Because you must remind them that he's a man. Why? Because he has never seen, and look, there was one man, you know, brags about himself. I met him when I came to this Enugu. He's a professor, you know, has a lot of the, you know, publication and all of that. And he's so full of himself. And I thought to myself, I said, you know this man's problem? He has not seen educated people. He should come to a Kitty State where they eat degree for breakfast. Do you know what I'm saying? You go to a typical Ekiti village, they have 4 university professors, and you know, there was a time they counted that the number of professors that Ondo State alone, then Ondo State, Ondo and Ekiti, had in Saudi Arabia, the number of medical professors, I think, was more than the number of graduates from a particular state in Nigeria. Something like that. I used to tell this story about my chief, that she's a very humble person. I said, one of the reasons is because her father was a doctor. Do you get my point? That is, when people were hardly going to school, the old man went to school those days. Her brother was a professor and vice chancellor. You understand? So she doesn't feel like a big person. She's a professor now. You get my point? But she came from a family where people don't read book tire before they're born up. A lot of people, you know, they come from a background of poverty. So that's why they will buy a small car and they think you should prostrate for them, prostrate for the car, and greet all the tires one by one. Because a poverty mentality human being that has not come, he has not come out of his background of poverty in his mind, has vanity bought a car. That's the world. There's a culture we Christians must teach them. That a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. You have a car doesn't mean you're important. It only means you need it and you can afford it. And if I don't need it, even though I can afford it, I won't buy it. One of our sisters from school those days, One day we went for our convention, we were just chatting. And she said honestly that, look, that where she works, they pay her a lot of money. But she doesn't know why she should buy a car because she doesn't need one. My friend is a consultant pathologist in the UK. As a consultant pathologist in the UK, he didn't have a car. I said, well, he said, look, he didn't see why he should buy one, that the train system in London was so efficient that he would start paying all these unnecessary luxury taxes. You park, you pay tax, you own the car, you pay tax, you buy fuel, you pay tax. He said, one day his wife finally passed on that they needed to buy a car. I told her, I hope you plan to drive it because I will buy it, but I won't drive it. I don't need it. Yet you go to a place like Texas in America, everybody needs to have one because they don't have an effective public transport system. Now, I'm trying to bring out something. It's not about, no, really. The culture of Christianity must learn some things that will find out that things don't matter. You will finish. Maybe you build a house in Enugu and God moves you away. You are leaving town. He said, who will buy it? He said, why should somebody buy it? Who is taking up the position that I was occupying in the lives of people in this city? Tell him he has a new house. Why? Because to us it doesn't mean anything. We don't derive our identity from material things. Christians don't. We are not supposed to. We must not let the world mold us into its own system. We must be transformed. Are you getting my point? We must be transformed. We must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's what Christianity is. Christianity is not the church you go to. You know, I keep on saying it. It's not the church you go to. It's the way your heart, your mind is aligned with the thought processes of God as revealed in Christ Jesus. That's what Christianity is. I hope you're following the point. So, you know, I'm reviewing, so I've now gone into all of that again, but I hope we're learning something. All right, so those are the wrong places people get their identity from. But what are the true and correct places people are supposed to get their identities from? That's what I want to sit on today as we close today's meeting. I said something once I had this series that there are two places you get your identity from. Two. Correct identity. Number one is what? Your origin. Where you're from. And number two is your purpose in life. And that purpose is reflected by the gifts that God has given you and the skills that you have developed with which you are blessing the lives of people. So when you hear of Joseph the carpenter, are you getting my point? All right, we'll discuss that then. You hear of Joseph the carpenter, Paul, an apostle. It's not bragging. Do you get my point? When you hear that somebody is a deacon, the idea behind titles originally, I said, was to let us know the function somebody is performing. The point I'm making right now, these are the two sources of identity that are correct. Number one, your origin. Number two, your purpose in life. What God sent in you into the lives of people. For example, if I'm going on the road and you call me and say, Pastor, that is instantly what somebody is saying, all right, is not that I'm a big man. It's not that I'm a monk, because I'm not one. You understand what I'm saying? What it means instinctively. Now, if you understand spiritual things very well, it simply means that I instruct people with the word of God. I feed them with divine truth. That's the job of a pastor. It doesn't mean, we think it means I go around visiting people. That's not what a pastor means. A pastor just means God said, I will give you them pastors after my heart who will do what? Feed them with knowledge and with understanding. Are you getting my point? So that title is not, I don't need to put it on my car because it's not supposed to clear road for me. Yeah, really. I can if I feel like, you know, there are days you just feel like I could buy a car and I feel so happy, I put the title on it. Pastor One. It's just, you know, it's not an evil thing. It's just the way I like it. Do you understand my point? I told my wife that I'm going to do something one day. I will still do it. I'll buy her a very nice car. And the number plate will be Mrs. B. It's not a sin. It's not righteous. It's just one of the idiosyncrasies of men. You just like it. You have the money, right? No wahala. Just put your license plate, Mrs. B. Yeah, you get what I'm explaining. Now, so titles, all right, were supposed to describe what somebody is doing. But I'm bringing out the issue that That's the second place you get your identity from. Now, having said that, the principles behind here can be abused or can be misused or can be wrongly applied. That's a better way to put it. In that there is a natural identity and Christians are not supposed to stick with natural identities. That's where I'm going. I have explained that your identity comes from where you are from and your purpose in life. All right? Now, having explained that principle, let's now look at how believers in Christ Jesus are supposed to derive their identities from these two places. Number one, I said that there's a natural identity. Quickly open your Bible to the book of John chapter 3. Nicodemus went to Jesus Christ to go and talk. We know the story. And then Jesus now began to explain some things to him from verse 4. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? After Jesus said, you must be born again to see the kingdom and all of that. In verse 5, Jesus now answered, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, please, verse 6 is where our message is taken from. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, I want to just bring out something from here. He said, there are two kinds of birth, he was saying, people can experience. There's natural birth and there's spiritual birth. Our text for today, which we took from the second book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you see Paul outlined those two different birth conditions. He said, you can recognize somebody according to the flesh. Are you getting my point? Or you can recognize him according to the Spirit. Paul said, this is what Christianity is. Henceforth, we don't recognize any man according to the flesh. Are you getting my point? Henceforth, we don't recognize ourselves according to the flesh. Henceforth, we don't recognize Christ Jesus, even himself, as he was in the flesh. What we recognize him by is what he is in the Spirit. Are you getting my point? Now, let me bring it down. That is, let us assume your father is a traditional ruler. Therefore, they call you a prince. Do you understand my point? That is recognition after the flesh. Have you seen this one before? A young woman wants to marry. Assuming her father is very, very influential, a big man. Assuming, for example, a former president, Obasanjo, or former vice president, Alex Ekwem, that kind of thing. So the young lady wants to marry. And I say, my name. So by the time you now marry Chukwubike. So, assuming Chukwubike is his surname. And I say, her name is Lisa Obasanjo Chukwubike. You've seen that before? It's all over town. We see it everywhere. It's because of recognition after the flesh. People want to tie, you know, to something that's, naturally speaking, is important. Let me say this to you. Christianity is a totally new life. Christianity takes you from the old, all right, and takes you into the new. And do you know why Christians are not so much persecuted these days? Do you know the reason? It is because we are just as worldly can be. It is not possible to be truly Christian and not suffer persecution. It is not possible. The problem, all right, why we are so popular instead of being persecuted is because we have eaten a lot of worldliness. Let me give an example. Amongst us, a lot of our churches, we still recognize men for being rich. A rich man will still walk in, we still give him a front seat. So he will come back next Sunday. But you know what Peter said we should do? Give him a seat according to how he came. If he came early, he sits in front. If he comes late, he sits behind the gate, like everybody who comes late here, until the door opens again. And once the door opens, he should find a seat. The only person, the Bible even says we should give some recognition, and I'm not even sure it's in the assembly, is if somebody is a ruler amongst men currently, that is, if a governor walks in. You understand? Those are the kind of people sometimes, I'm not even sure it's inside the assembly. Anyway, I like some churches. Those days in Winners, if president comes in, he had better find seat. I remember those days. We'll go for ministers' conferences. Big bishops will arrive. Oh boy, find your seat. If you are not preaching, nobody's carrying you to the front. What am I trying to say? Now, for us, rich men will continue to come back because we give them front seats. This is how you will know persecution. A multi-millionaire who drives around in an entourage, driving big cars, Rolls Royces, you know, latest model, BMWs and all of that. He shows up for Bible study. And as he walks in, he's waiting for somebody to usher him to his seat. He just usher and say, no, please, okay, shift inside. We don't like spaces between our seats because people are coming. Ego, look you. Look himself. Ask you, do you know who I am? He said, really, sir, I don't. Can you tell me? You know, that kind of thing. He said, I am so-and-so-and-so person. He said, oh, you are not a preacher. No. You are not preaching today. Say, no. I mean what I'm saying. Go and sit where... He will say, you people are uncultured. You don't have respect. And he won't come back. That's persecution. But you know the truth? If he says that, he didn't come to hear the truth. If he had come to hear the word, he wouldn't care where he sat. Zacchaeus was an important man amongst people. Yet, when he wanted to see Jesus Christ, nobody tell him before I go climb through. Now, you are getting what I'm trying to explain here. So this is what I'm trying to make. We Christians, the reason why we are not being persecuted anymore is because we live exactly like the world. Are you getting my point? Because through Christianity, what it does is that it tears you away from where you were coming from and creates a new identity for you. And if you live like that, my brother, my sister, life no go easy initially. No, it can't be easy. It can't be easy. It cannot be easy. It cannot be easy. Imagine that your father, like I said, is very, very influential. You now marry one small boy. And you carry your papa name, you cast him away like that. The man will, he will think, actually, that you are casting away opportunities. But Paul says something, don't ever forget that long, beautiful, one of my favorite portions of the scriptures from the book of Philippians. Paul said, all those things that I counted as that were gained unto me, I counted them as what? As loss. So that I can get to know Christ and be acquainted with the power of his resurrection. Listen, until you are ready to throw away even your natural advantages, you are not ready for the power of Christ to work in you. Now, this is a mistake we make as Christians. We think that giving your life to Christ means you cast away what you think is bad. Are you getting my point? So if I was in a cult, I stopped being in a cult, all right? Because what they are doing supposedly is bad. Let me tell you something about Christianity. What it means is that I cast away everything about the former life. Good or bad. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. There are things that you think are good and it's still of the old order and you are not to be recognized by it. As I'm going on, you will understand this thing better. The identity of a Christian, it must be marked out in only one place, and that is in whom? In Christ Jesus. That's all. Paul said, henceforth we recognize no man after the flesh. Let me tell you something. One of the things that God, well, I didn't even notice he's doing it. I just noticed it, all right? That people pass comments and all of that. When I get to, I work in a hospital, university and the hospital, so, and there, I'm supposed to be among the top rank of creatures that work in the place. You understand what I mean? A hospital is about medical practice, and I'm a consultant. Is that okay? Now, it didn't strike me that I'm not supposed to parley with people who are very, very low. I don't know whether I get my point. My department, all right, is pathology. Therefore, the morgue is part of my department. I can walk into the morgue, for example, and see one of the mortuary attendants. There's one guy, his name is Dan. Dan and I go begin box. They're Dan. Hey, doc, you don't come, you know? And you know, I didn't think it was anything about it. I've never thought it as anything. I think until some people pass some comments about it, I said, okay, is it supposed to be, you're a humble man? No, I don't think it's humility. The man I'm talking to is older than me in age. What makes me think I am better than him?
Now listen, I don't forget my place. So if I give an instruction, it has to be obeyed. No, you don't get my point. If I walk in there and say, why is this thing like this? Please, I don't want to see this one here. Next time I want it done like this. The answer is yes, sir. But that's because we are performing a particular function. It doesn't mean the individual is inferior to me as a person. It just means he didn't go to the kind of school I went. And the reason may have nothing to do with his person. Because, believe me, I can't remember when I started going to school. What I mean, it was not a decision I made. In fact, somebody like me, I started going to school out of stop disturbing the house, you know, and like, go. I started going to school very, very early. So I can't remember it. I can't remember being smart. I just used to go to school. I don't know whether you get my point. There was no one that they say, okay, who are the people who want to be smart here? Put up your right hand. And I put up my right hand. We just kept on going to school. And do you follow my point? Things were just following, okay. Now, be like I say, you know physics. You go do science. Nothing spoiled. Do you understand my point? We just continue doing the science. They say, okay, jam come. Fill jam form. What course are you going to study? Okay, write medicine there. Nothing spoiled. You do jam, you pass. You do get my point? You enter university. And several times, car has almost killed me. But it missed me, and I'm alive today. Do you get what I'm saying? So what do you have that you did not receive? I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. That's the way I have viewed life. A man's natural attributes doesn't confer anything on him spiritually. And Christianity is simple. That you don't look at life from a natural perspective. Do you know, one day I looked, until now I do it once in a while, but one day I looked at, I think, one of my kids, and what they came out of my mouth, unconsciously, I just said, man of God. That's a child who I flog when he misbehaves. The flogging is not about superiority, it's about offices. Fathers flog their children for misbehaving. It's part of training him in the way of the Lord. I just looked at him and said, man of God. And this is what I said one of those days. I said, God, this is a servant of yours that you have brought into my life that I might train him for you. This boy is not my son. He's a servant of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because in heaven, all of us will be the same age. I can look, come and say, so daddy, you are my... He says, so, but you are my daddy on the earth. He said, I feel bad because with the heaven, I say, we'll be mate. Yeah, because we all are going to look about the age of 30, thereabout. Yeah, something around that. How do I know? Jesus fixed it at the brother level. Yeah. You want me to prove that to you? He died about the age of 33. Do you understand my point? And when he rose again, they could identify, oh, this is the guy. So he was looking like his proper age. And when he comes, we shall be like him. Is that not what the Bible says? Are you following what I'm going to explain? I said the culture of Christianity is that we don't regard people according to their natural order. Let me even talk about marriage as an example. You've heard me preach that again and again, but we can't say it enough. I'm very happy. You know, when I look at myself, I say, God created me to be able to make some points. My wife's from Delta State. All right? I'm from Ondo State, naturally speaking. And like I always say jokingly, my son is from Enugu State. I'm from Ondo State. My wife's from Delta State. My son is from Enugu State. In fact, when my brother was getting married, I was the preacher for the day. I wonder if I finished preaching. One of my aunties came when we were in the house. He said, Colin, thank you very much. That's what they call me at home. He said, thank you very, very much that I went to go and use her to preach. I said, what? That my message today was directed against her. I said, auntie, look at me. Do I look like I have your time? That I will be manufacturing sermon because of you. Why? Because I spoke that day on reasons why people don't do the will of God, specifically about marriage. I said, number one, why don't people make the right choices? I said, one, he's not from my place, one of them. Number two, I have not yet achieved materially in life. And I gave a number of things, all right? And because my auntie is one of those proponents of marry from your place, she thought I was preaching about her. It's like, auntie, I solved your case when I got married 10 years ago. That was when I solved you. Do you understand my point? You stop being an issue. Then, the interesting part? It never... Now, God, who I'm serving with all my heart, knows what I'm saying is not a lie. It's never crossed my mind that it was an important thing to use to make a choice. No. God formed that different ways, all right? I'm not trying to present like a hyper-spiritual man. One of the ways he did it was that I went to school, University of Benin. My best friends, one, they are still my friends here today. My best man, all right, as an example, his name is Uchechi Obioma Igbokwe. How more Igbo can you get than that? Look at that name. No English one inside. Uchechi Obioma Igbokwe. His name is even Igbokwe, you know? Not even normal, something like maybe Chukwubike, that kind of thing. This one, no, from the heart of Abia State. That was my best man. Do you get my point? If you name best friends, one of the people you will name as my best friend, we were sitting on the phone together yesterday. His name is Chukwudi Eke. He's from Etiti in Imo State. We're all in school together, we're classmates. Do you get my point? These were people, the other one of my friends is from Edo State. These were people that I could trust with my life. Do you get what I'm saying? So maybe that's part of my own problem. You know my problem now. So I had been thoroughly detribalized long before it became a matter of marriage. Long before then. When we were house officers, I remember we took a trip from Benin to Owerri, from Owerri to Umuahia here and then back. Just go and visit our guys. Went to my friend, which is hometown, inside his village. Went to go and visit his father there. That was many years ago. I mean, my friends, when they were, like the Chooks, when he was going to America, he signed a whole booklet of check leaves. Just signed them empty and said, Banky, please hold it for me. If I need to do anything. That is, he gave me his money to keep. He didn't give his brother. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? He gave me his money to, that is, he signed checkbook empty and handed it to me. And I held it. So, you know, for me, you know, that tribal stupidity left my body long ago. That's if it ever entered. I saw good people from everywhere and I saw evil souls from everywhere. Let me tell you this story just to make you laugh. One girl from, this is from my, well, then was my state. So then on those state, she married. Married, finish up. After some months, the husband went back to go and visit the father and told the father all the bad things the girl had done to him. The father, when the guy finished talking, the father said, you know the day you were getting married, did you notice that I was shaking my head? He said, yes. I was feeling sorry for you. The girl's father told the son-in-law, his daughter's husband, when the boy finished telling the tales of war, he said, oh, the day you were getting married, try and recollect. I was just shaking my head like this. He said, it was pity. I was feeling sorry for you. So you don't marry, finish now. What do you want me to do? He said, listen, my friend. You see, this is my wife. She's a wicked person. Her daughter that you married, twice as wicked as the mother. So, you see, I have never carried my wahala to anybody. Better go and solve your own. Now you marry wish, no be me. Now, that's the kind of wife from my place. Do you get my point? Good wives, they there. Bad wives, they there. And so it is everywhere. But, more importantly than all of this, this is human reasoning. The fact is that the baseline thing in my heart is that the Bible says, henceforth, we know no woman after the flesh. If any babe is in Christ, she's a good wife. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? And because of the young guys, men are here with you and they talk so. No, that is it. No, really. If any woman is in Christ, she's a good creature. She's a good wife. The only thing I couldn't stand is somebody who doesn't love the word of God. Till now, I can't stand it. That was my issue. That was my issue. Because the Bible says, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. It is spiritual. What word do I use now? Okay, the one I normally use. Spiritual madness. For a Christian to want to marry and be checking for a woman or a husband that comes from my area. Your area is an area of the spirit. Henceforth, I know no man after the flesh. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. That's what I concern myself with. That's what I preached. My auntie said I was using her to preach. I said, auntie, you didn't say I get your time. I have more serious things to attend to. There are a lot of young people who are confused in life that God sent me to go and give direction. What matters is that you marry a good wife. That's it. A good husband is not where the person is from. Where can people come from? For us believers, you can only come from the Spirit. He that is born from above is above all. That's what we know. I told you why we don't get persecuted anymore. It's because we make choices to make them happen. Let me tell you, you want to miss the will of God? Start by looking for those who are from your area. Ha! There are different kinds of devils. And Christians that deny the word of God always marry Satan. I'm telling you. No, you see, God, the way God does things is this. If you say, God, show me your will. You say, I take it in two levels. First, there is the written and general will. Before we discuss the specific will. So when you have already filtered out the women according to geographical places of origin. You understand what I mean? Then how am I going to talk to you again? When I said, henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. One day, I finished teaching like this somewhere. Somebody wrote me a note. You know, it was supposed to ask questions. It was in Oka. I said that if where somebody is from is not important, how come Abraham said they should go and take Isaac, a wife, from amongst his people? Let's not laugh too much. She doesn't know better. It was a woman that asked that kind of question. No, she really didn't know. So let's answer it properly. She actually didn't know. So we should answer it for those who don't know. The truth is that Abraham didn't say that so that they can get a relative. He said, go and take a wife from amongst my people. It was because of what? Their heritage, their culture. He didn't want the Canaanites around who were of, because these are spiritual matters, of an accursed ascendancy. They are descendants of a curse. He didn't want that. They were worshipping gods that he did not know. That's what he was after. Are you getting my point? That's literal number one. Then secondly, we look at things again from the spiritual angle. The Bible says that if you are really in Christ, set your minds on the things that are above. What is the technology above in that thing? This is the above thing. If you want somebody that's of your tribe, you should get it. What is your tribe? Your tribe is of what? Faith. You are a descendant of Abraham. You can only marry a descendant of Abraham. Shebi, the young woman was quoting Abraham for me. Good, let's go into Abrahamic. All right? Technology. Do you understand my point? No, yes. You want to marry from your place? Good. Let's do it. Abraham said, go to amongst my people. Who are my people? The Bible says clearly that it is those who are what? Of the faith of Abraham. So when I want to marry, what it means is that I don't go to the midst of unbelievers. I go only into the midst of those who are of faith in Christ Jesus. That is how I marry. Paul said, give offense neither to Jews, nor to Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Like I said, that's the way it goes. It's Jews, Gentiles, and the church of God. That's all. This is what Christianity is. You must locate your identity only in Christ Jesus, and nowhere else are you allowed to derive your identity from. You are from America. You know, people do that. There are women who marry any goat, as long as it comes from a foreign country. I'm telling you. I use the word go to let you know there are human beings who behave like they don't have a brain. But the girl doesn't care. Because he wears one baggy trousers and sneakers. You know how much they sell those baggy trousers? $15. Those sneakers, they have them for $15 too. And let that one impress you. And believe me, if you stay in a country where sun not today shine, your face will go smooth also. Some of this roughness of faces is sun. What am I going to explain? People, look, Paul said, that which was a gain to me, naturally speaking, I counted as loss. That's what Christianity is. We have to draw our identity. Look, that's what I want to understand. What you boast about is what you are in Christ, not the school you went to. There are those who somebody shouldn't talk to them because they might not go to school, reach you. Look, let me tell you something. Especially when it comes to school going, it has nothing to do with you. I hope you know that. It's the circumstance around where you were born. That's the primary thing that decided whether you went to school or you did not. Please don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. When God wanted to give us identity, you know what he did? He gave us Christ Jesus. Everything that's our life is what is described in him. Are you getting my point? Being a Nigerian, believe me, is a matter of purpose. It's about purpose. That's not my primary identity. The Bible says our citizenship is from where? Heaven. I'm a citizen of the heavenly city of Jerusalem. That's what I am. Being of, you know, of this geographical, you know, citizenship is about purpose. That's why you don't just change the place of your geography anyhow. I'm not saying you never change it, not just anyhow. Because for us believers, believe me, our lives, the Bible says that our lives are hid in Christ with God. Jesus is who gives us our identity. Not the schools we went to, nor the countries we are from. Let me end with this. We'll continue from this point next time. This is what I'm going to say. Your spiritual identity matters to God, and it decides how he responds to you. All men are not equal. But the gospel in it is that we have the ability to dress ourselves up spiritually. The Bible said that the bride clothed herself in a white garment. Do you get my point? That is, spiritually, God has given us the privilege of deciding the kind of cloth that we will wear. Are you following my point? I'll leave us with that one today. What are we going to do? Our assignment as people. Men, we have to build up our spiritual identities. Because God made you something in Christ. But Paul said, that thing that you were made, you must work upon it. So that a time will come, an angel will show up and say, oh boy, you are highly esteemed. That thing is very important. The starting place is to focus on the right thing. And that is what you are in Christ Jesus. Natural achievements mean nothing. If I didn't add this one to you, one of the places where people miss their identity is when they want to purely use their natural achievements. Natural achievements do something. It's not bad identity, but it's limited. It's limited. Whatever you have achieved in life, Paul said, quickly put those things behind and move towards that which is ahead. Because believe me, listen, 1 million people can gather on one side and one person is on the other side. And that English saying is not a lie. When it says one with God is majority. Do you get my point? What I'm saying is not what people perceive of you. It's not what people perceive of you. It's what indeed you have become, spiritually speaking. I hope you've gotten my point today.